What's up, guys? This episode is brought to you by our favorite budgeting app, Every Dollar. Rachel and I love Every Dollar because it is the easiest way to take control of your money, build the right habits, and make progress on your goals. You can download it for free on the App Store or Google Play today.
Hey guys, I'm Rachel Cruz.
I'm George Campbell.
And this is
Smart Money Happy Hour.
Cheers, George.
Cheers.
Delicious.
Wow.
Well, this is the show where two friends who happen to be money experts talk about what you're talking about. So everything from pop culture, current events, and money.
And today, we are giving a voice to the people. It's about time, Rachel. We get hundreds of comments a week. You get thousands.
I don't know about that.
On YouTube, Instagram, podcast apps, you name it. So we thought it would be fun and maybe a little traumatic to react to some of the gold y'all are dropping for free in the comments section.
Some people
it's free entertainment. That's how I look at it.
They some gold. That's for sure.
Well, because some of these comments are gold, we are drinking a gold rush.
That's right.
And I get a rush when I read the comments. So that's what this is all about.
All right.
So you're going to want to stick around for our rating and the cost per glass and the recipe at the end of the episode. Don't go anywhere.
Delicious. George, do you read the comments? Out of all your platforms, you got, you know, you have TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you more likely to go?
Ooh, I think YouTube, because of my YouTube channel and it's very YouTube focused.
Okay.
That's probably where I read the most comments.
Okay.
Instagram, I'll kind of, you know, meander.
Yeah.
Twitter only is really only mentions, which is more rare for me. Facebook, it's a lot on there. There's a lot going on Facebook. And podcast reviews, Amazon reviews, now that I have a book out, I've been watching the reviews and it's been fun. So those are mostly, I would say, YouTube for me.
Okay.
How about you?
It's good. Instagram would probably be my first. It's the platform I enjoy.
I feel like one of the biggest internet status symbols these days is saying phrases like, I've been getting so many DMs, or all of you have been asking about, like, that's what I see from Rachel. You know what I mean?
It's so annoying. But here's the deal. And to me, so many means like a flood of like 30 to 40 of the same question. So to me, as I'm going through, I'm like, oh my gosh, they just kind of keep coming about this one thing.
Mm.
So that's when I will jump
What
on
is
and
your
say,
one thing? Do you have a thing?
I usually get about what I'm wearing.
Oh, from
clothes.
The ladies, I imagine?
Yeah.
The guys are not
clothes
as interested.
Clothes is a big one. Yeah.
Well, you're a fashion icon.
Well, thank you, Georgie. I don't know about that, but I you know, Loft and Target and Amazon. What's the number one question you get?
The big comment I get is that I'm an out of touch boomer.
Oh,
I don't know
what?
Why.
People you're feel, not a boomer.
I know, but they think I'm a
why
boomer living in a millennial.
I feel like
shoved
I'm more
into
out of touch than
body.
You are. I don't think you're out
That's
of touch.
That's what I think too. That's what's frustrating. I'm like, I'm so in touch. I read every comment.
Why
I'm
do
the
they
most
say
in touch.
That? Is it like because of like our real estate?
Because
advice?
Of my advice, which is like, hey, get out of debt, and they're like, this guy's out of touch. You know, don't use a credit card. You know.
Yeah.
So a lot of our advice.
It's because you hang out on like those platforms. I feel like.
Yeah. I just don't buy into the negativity of the younger generations, and I think that makes me come across as old.
Yeah.
Because I don't have as much sympathy.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that.
Do you comment on other people's posts? Like influencers, celebrities, friends?
You know, no.
And you barely comment on my posts, which I think is rude.
I don't comment a lot. I probably should. Like if it's like my sister just posted today, my nephew's birthday was yesterday. So she put some pictures up. So I saw it this morning and I was like, love you, Sambo. So like I posted on that.
The one
Do you comment a lot?
I don't think so. Sometimes I'll go to, if like a fan posts something like, hey, we're debt free and they tag me and I can see it, I'll go comment like, way to go. That's awesome. So proud of you.
Yeah.
So those are fun to like go into, see the wins that are happening out there.
Yes.
But I only see those if people are like tagging me and commenting and all that.
Right.
The one comment I get that is not money related that I now find funny is that I look like the Dolphins coach, Mike McDaniel.
Yes.
I don't think it's a compliment. Like
I got to look him up.
I think it's just like,
I've done
this
before.
Is this guy secretly living a double life as the Miami Dolphins
what's his name?
Head coach? Mike McDaniel. I think if he updated his glasses and put a little more effort into his hair care, we could get there. He's far more tan than me. People like his personality.
Look at him. George.
Dang it.
George. It's pretty dang similar.
Yeah. We
I
both
can
have
see
a
that.
Squirrely little face.
I can
Do you know. Ever get comments that are helpful, that are constructive, and you're like, oh, I actually appreciate that?
I just had one right before I got on here. So maybe it's a little
fresh.
Yeah, and it was from a guy. And I was like, he told me I should put on lipstick.
Whoa.
Because he said, you look pale or something. You should wear, yeah, it was a comment about my like complexion. Travis, why?
I've known you for a decade. I've never once thought you need lipstick.
I know
Rachel.
He did. I can show you the comment. Honestly, right before I sat down on this chair, and I thought, that's
you wear lip gloss?
No, I didn't. In the to his point, my face was all one color, so I guess he was actually correct. Just was funny to me. So I thought, like, wow, I need to remember lip color, lip shades.
Can you vouch for this
before my videos?
Do women get a lot more comments about their physical appearance?
Oh, I think
like,
so.
Rarely okay, are people comment, commenting about
that
the dudes.
That just reminded me. I get this, my hair.
Oh.
I will move my hair a lot, especially on the Ramsay show. And people are like, tell her to stop playing with her hair. And I'm like, sorry.
Okay.
So that, you don't have to do that. What if you were swish that, George?
Play with your hair.
It is immovable.
I know. I was going to say, it's pretty much
but it's also
put.
Very malleable.
Oh, there you go.
Can I just say that? It's not.
Do you get comments about your appearance?
Yeah, I mean, some people just think I have a punchable face.
Oh.
You know, they don't like my beard. I do get a lot of comments about my hair. People want to know what it takes to have this.
Because it's great.
Well, especially on Instagram Live, you know, your face is right up there against the camera, and so you get a real close-up look of the coif.
It is good.
If you will. The pompadour. So that's it. That's my claim to fame.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I would say the stop playing with your hair comment. All right. I see, and I take notes. Thank you.
I'll take it. You know, I do try to take the constructive criticisms.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other...
They're rarely constructive. That's
whoa,
the problem.
Oh, yeah, they're there just to put you down. So. They're there to put you down.
What's up, guys? If you want to be better with money, your first step is to start budgeting with Every Dollar. This is the app Rachel and I both use, and trust me, it's great because it gives you everything you need to make budgeting easier, faster, and dare I say, even enjoyable.
Yeah, I think you can say that, George. I mean, it's pretty enjoyable to have more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you're intentional with your spending. Guys, download Every Dollar for free on the App Store or Google Play today.
So let's get into the money talk, Rachel. We're going to focus this conversation around the comments we get when it comes to money stuff, both good and bad. So this is not a full-on haters episode, but some of them we have to respond to. These are real people, by the way. We didn't
Michael
just make
Carter.
These up. Michael
see,
Carter,
we
266.
See you. Credit cards are like alcohol. Some people can handle it. Others can't. If you can't, then don't do it.
Okay.
You know what, Michael?
I understand where he's coming from.
I get it. Because I think that there's a reality to that.
We have a hard stance here at Ramsay of no credit cards,
yes,
no debt.
We're on the extreme side of it.
Even if you pay it off every month, which is our version of even if you have one drink a week as a social drinker, no drinks, Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see credit cards and alcohol as in the same camp, personally.
Here's the truth. Are there people out there that have credit cards and do pay them off every month? They use them for their utility, whatever, right? We hear it all day, every day. Sure, absolutely. But in my head, I'm like, I don't want to, number one, be part of a industry that basically their whole rap is just to make more money off me. So I'm like, I'm good. And number two, you statistically spend more when you spend with a credit card. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, if all those things are there, I'll just spend my own money. And I'm good. I'm fine. I'm really trying to.
I understand the analogy.
Split the hairs.
Well,
with
my thing is like
with the drink.
Alcohol is a product. It's a consumption thing. A credit card is a vehicle. It's a method.
It's a method at which
payment.
That's good, George. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't see them as apples to apples for that reason alone.
Yeah.
But I get the analogy of well, alcohol is still bad for you. Sure. We all agree
that
this is not good for you. And
so is sugar.
What he's trying to say is,
so is everything else.
Well, in moderation, if paid off in full, credit cards can be fine.
Yep.
I've just found that for anyone that doesn't use a credit card, they build wealth faster with more peace and they spend less.
Yes, that's right. That's
so
right.
Yep. I don't see, you can't make that argument about alcohol. Would you spend less if you drank water? Sure.
Technically,
dang
yeah.
it, Michael. So I see
Michael.
Your point, Michael.
Michael.
We raise a glass to you, Michael.
Yeah, it was good, Michael, good. But I'm probably not going to run out and get an American Express, but I may run out and get a Gold Rush.
Hey, now that's a worthwhile purchase.
I don't know. Okay, we got a K-girl. I agree with never loaning money to family. My dad wouldn't even co-sign for me to buy my first car. And to this day, I agree.
Wow.
She learned.
That's interesting. She said, my dad wouldn't even co-sign for me to buy my first car. And to this day, I agree. Well, clearly she didn't agree because she asked him to co-sign at one point.
Yeah, that's true.
But I guess later in life, she was like, that was a good move.
Yeah.
We, just in the last week, we've taken calls on the Ramsey Show of people who co-sign for other people's debt, especially people they're not married to, and it goes south.
Not good.
So realize this, y'all. When you co-sign on someone else's debt, you just took on that debt. Full on, that is now your debt. And there's a reason that they needed a co-signer. They didn't trust that the other person would even make the payment.
That's right.
And what happens a lot of the time is the person can't or doesn't make the payment, which then puts it on you.
And what's hard is when someone comes to you, you feel like, oh my gosh, I'll help them out, right? They need a new car. They need this. So the intention of it is so good and pure, right? That you're helping, and then you get screwed in the process is what ends up happening.
And the worst part is
so there's a part you have to protect yourself.
A boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, co-sign the debt.
You put love
it doesn't
in the
work
middle
out.
Of it, and it's, yeah.
We just took a call. This woman co-signed. She actually bought the RV for him. Like, the loan is in her name. They break up.
And now it's back.
The wedding is off, and now it's all on her to deal with this underwater RV loan. I'm like, oh gosh.
It's so hard.
Never, never do it. If you listen to this show, I'm going to come after you if you go do this now.
Don't co-sign.
All right. DJ Juicy Juicy, as one does, said, tried the baby steps, had a $2,200 emergency, and ended up $5,000 in the hole. Still doing the baby steps, but I went with a $2,500 emergency fund and have been fine ever since. The $1,000 emergency fund put me in a worse position. Definitely time you update it, Rachel. He didn't actually call you out, but I thought that would add some spice to it.
That's funny. Do you want to know like kind of a funny moment in my career?
Yeah.
I was writing my first book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. And I was pushing so hard to change the baby steps.
Wow. To update the $1,000?
Baby step one. Yes. I really was pushing to do it a month.
A month of expenses.
1 month of expenses being baby step one. And of course, me and Dave, as you can imagine, went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was like, I just feel like, and he kept saying, which now I'm like, oh, I get it. He kept saying $1,000 was never enough anyways. Like the point is that it's not enough. Like there is a reality that it won't be, but you will never start paying off debt. It's going to take too much time.
People will give up before they ever get to that month of expenses or $2,500.
And for most of the things that are over $1,000, you can kind of pause the debt snowball and say, okay, here's a bill. It's due in 30 days. What can I do between now and then to figure it out, right? And most emergencies, I think on average, are like $800 or less. I think we saw a statistic about that.
And if you kind of bucketed it like normal small emergencies and then big emergencies, well, $2,500 isn't enough either. Then.
Yeah. And speaking of comments, there was another financial influencer that does the opposite and says you need 3 to 6 months of expenses first before you pay off debt.
Whoa.
And I went in their comments because I was curious about it. I was like, oh, interesting. And so many people commented and said, I tried this, but I never got to the point where I was paying off debt. Because the point is to get there so much faster. When you start
paying it off. Well, while you have debt payments, it's even harder. When you're out of debt, it's so much easier because you free up a payment.
That's right. When you start paying off that credit card and you start paying the stuff off, it frees up your income then. So it's doing the opposite effect. So the $1,000, we get it. We hear you. And for a lot of people, they pause it at Snowball if something big comes up and they, you know, take the extra job, they work and
sell
figure
stuff,
out what
stack
they,
up cash, whatever you need to do.
And that may or may not happen.
And being here 10 years, I've heard very few situations. I can count on maybe one hand. How many people actually were like, I had the emergency over 1,000 and it totally threw me off. Most people, they cash flow it, they figure it out, they pause the debt
snowball,
they're back on the horse.
Yes, yeah. But when you take so long to save up for a massive emergency fund, you never get to the point of paying off debt. And you're paying interest. I mean, you're doing all this other stuff over here. When you can free that up, it flows that much faster. So
take that, DJ Juicy Juicy.
All right, next. I am a single income with more than $1 million net worth, debt-free, and I eat mostly peanut butter and jelly sandwiches until my mortgage is paid off. Listen to these wise people.
Oh, wow.
That's very nice.
I've never given that advice. Nothing wrong with a good PB&J, but I mean, there's other food you can eat.
Other food you can eat, I know.
She getting all of her vitamins in, her protein? I'm worried about Christine.
Yeah, because we talk about with your mortgage, we want you to pay it off, but you don't have to be that like gazelle intense. Like the peanut butter and jelly phase is like baby steps 1 through 3.
So if you're getting out of debt, working on the emergency fund, don't eat out, make food at home. Yep. We say rice and beans. It can be PB&J. The idea there is not that it has to be a specific food, but you are eating very minimally.
Yes.
No luxury foods here.
That's right. That's
we're just
right.
as cheap as we can make it. We're doing it.
Yep.
And some people get really good at this. I mean, you can go to Aldi and get a big old basket of groceries and make some great meals on the cheap. What's your favorite peanut butter? America's been wondering.
We do Jif.
Oh, wow.
Because Costco, you get the two big ones.
Yeah, but...
Oh, all the preserves. Oh, man.
But the Kirkland Signature peanut butter. Right. Very high quality.
Okay, my mother...
Are you crunchy or
my mother,
creamy?
Sharon, no, we're creamy. I would prefer crunchy, but the kids...
Oh, those little kids with their little mouth chiclets they can't chew through the crunch. Is that what it is? Is that it? Because Charles is like, Mommy, I can't chew through it. Mommy, my queen bed, the sheets are dirty. Does he say stuff like that? I can totally picture him whining about the crunch in the peanut butter. Is this true? And then he's trying to wash it all down. And he's like, Mommy, I asked for oat milk. This is almond milk. I can taste the difference.
Oh my gosh, George.
Is it true?
No, stop that. No. When you were talking, I was imagining a little baby bird like pecking through the crunchy peanut butter.
Mouth chiclets. You remember chiclets, little gum?
Oh my God. No.
That's what your teeth are. Anyways,
okay, no,
sorry,
kids,
Charles.
No
my shade, my
kids,
man.
I don't. Yeah, no. They
Charles
just
is
like
going to watch this as a grown
okay,
man.
Okay, here's what I don't like about peanut butter. And all you healthy people are going to be like, this is the best peanut butter. And my mom has this, where you open it and all the oil and you got to like stir it.
Yeah.
Like stupid.
I'm not trying to churn my butter like
we
a
don't
little house
need
on the prairie.
All that. We need Nutella, jelly, and peanut butter in our house. And we are wrapping it up.
I have to agree with George on this one. I'm so sorry, Rachel.
The Kirkland Signature?
Just healthy peanut butter. I'm a healthy peanut butter gal.
Oh my gosh. I can't
Here's the
y'all.
Key. Look at the ingredients. It should have two or three ingredients. Peanuts, salt, oil. If there's anything
what
else,
about Jif?
You're doing it wrong.
It has so much. It has sugar.
I'm sure it does.
And it has preservatives.
Mononucleotides, probably. Mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell. They throw that in there for fun. We don't know.
I saw this meme and I thought this is so good. It said, my kid is getting a face tattoo, so bottle feed. And it made me laugh. So your kid's getting a face tattoo. Buy whatever peanut butter you want to buy. Like they're going to make their own decisions. Don't you think?
Feels like a weird way to just go like, well, my kids are getting face tattoos. The peanut butter. I think peanut butter was the least of their problems.
That is a funny meme, though.
That is funny.
All right, we got to move on. Here we go.
Taylor Anderson said, I use the debt snowball method with everything. That's how I did my homework in high school. I started with the assignments that were easiest or the least amount of time and worked my way up. Works like a charm.
Oh, there you go.
That's interesting.
Taylor. Is he in high school watching us?
Well, he said that's how I did my homework in high school. He could be 45 years old now.
Okay.
We have no idea.
I was like, for you, Taylor.
But I think that's good. I think if you read Atomic Habits by James Clear, one of those, I feel like it's always, hey, start with these small, incremental, sustainable steps versus trying to do the big thing first.
That's right. And that's what we talk about, paying off debt. Pay off the smallest one first, regardless of the interest rate.
And you do get momentum much faster. You feel the progress, and it makes you stick with it.
Yeah,
that's the key.
All right. This one's from R.D. Minor.
Meneer.
One. Combining finances is occasionally an error. My wife of 29 years was a shopping addict. The Sears, Penny's, Goodwill didn't matter. And I would say that's true.
What is a Penny's? Does anyone know what a Penny's is?
JCPenney's.
Call it Penny's?
Yeah, Penny's. JCPenney's. Yeah.
What level of addict do you have to be to call JCPenney's just Penny's? Like, where have you been? I was at Penny's.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the Sears. He calls it the Sears?
Did he?
But he calls JCPenney Penny's.
Oh, we did call it the Sears. Oh, yeah.
That's a boomer I've ever seen one.
Yeah, that is a boomer.
Let's sit down, BRBO.
No. But there is a time.
Producer Skylar just called you out for VRBO instead of Vrbo.
It will forever be VRBO. I don't care what you all say.
Just like Airbnb. I don't know that the combining finances is the problem here. It sounds like he married a spending addict and never addressed the behavior.
Yes, but if she's not choosing to address her own behavior, I would say he probably needs to protect himself. So if there is that. Like,
if there's an addiction, for example.
Yes, or... infidelity. If there's something there that you're like, I need to protect myself, it is fair because I do feel like, not always, but I feel like the woman can sometimes be the one that in the situation that's like, crap, what do I do? I feel like that's what we hear a lot. So I think there is legitimate reasons why you keep it separate. I really do.
Yeah.
We had a question of the day on the Ramsey show last week. They were like over $500,000 in debt. He bought a tractor. He bought a car for a new, like a new business. He was doing all this stuff. And it had been 4 years. She kept trying and trying and trying. Like, and again, there's obviously marriage issues there. Like, he's not listening to her, respecting her. I mean, there's a lot there. But that's why money can cause divorce. I mean, that is why it's one of the leading causes of this tension. Because when someone goes out and you're one with them,
yes,
it can. So that's why we do say, like, there are asterisks to that. Fair. To protect yourself. But for majority of people out there, when you work together to someone you're married with, which should be a relationship, that you're on the same team, you're working towards the same goals, that unity is so much more powerful than just doing separate because I just want my own money, right? So like, there is that balance there.
And on the other side of this pendulum, if I may, keeping your finances separate does nothing long-term for your marriage. So in the short term, while yep. someone gets their act together, deals with an addiction, whatever the infidelity may be,
right.
that's fine. But 29 years of marriage without combining accounts, because this was never addressed or fixed, that is a problem.
Yes. Yeah,
like
yeah,
at
yeah.
some point, we have to fix the problem, combine finances, right. create
but
that trust and accountability.
But here's the thing with this, though, George, is that he can't fix her. She's over 18. She can go sign up for whatever she wants. Like, at that point, he yes, we need to address the issue.
I could not survive 30 years of a marriage in this
exactly.
situation.
Well, that's the problem. Yes.
So that's just
where
my
it causes,
take.
I know. But that's what ends
Sorry,
up happening.
Sorry, RD. KG the agent said, I don't hate any of the Ramsey advice. It's the you're dumb if you don't do this attitude that gets an eye roll from me.
Oh.
Have you ever said that? I don't, that I've would never come out of your mouth.
I've never said that. I do feel like the you are dumb, like it's you, it's the decision.
Yeah.
Like car loans, I always say is the dumbest debt. Like to me, getting a car loan with the interest that you pay
on
something
on
that's going down
asset.
In value. Yeah. yeah, like it's more of that. But I will say those things, but I don't call people dumb.
I don't think I've ever called someone dumb, but I do think there are times when if I'm not getting through to someone and they're clearly just wanting to continue in their misbehavior, mm-hmm. there's sort of this anger towards them because you want to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a friend. Like when someone calls in, I just picture them as a friend who called in for my advice.
Yes, yes.
Obviously, these are strangers, but I might be the only person in their life who tells them the truth.
Sure.
And some people are being dumb. They are not dumb people. They are just
They're making dumb
they're
decisions.
They're in an active state of dumbness.
Yes.
And they can stop that by quitting
by
their
making
misbehavior.
Other decisions.
So I think that's what the heart of behind this is, but yes. I understand his point.
With our principles, they have been proven over time, factually, statistically, I mean, like all the things. So there is a level in us that we're like, no. If you literally do this over time, it's going to help you. And this is a wiser way.
Yes.
Than this over here.
So I think if anything, it stems from our confidence in the plan and our frustration.
Maybe that's it. Next is from Meow Me and Me. You do you. It's called personal finance for a reason. What works for one person doesn't necessarily work for the next.
I don't think they understand what personal finance means, but okay.
Doesn't it mean personal? It is personal.
Well, comparatively to an economic business context.
Yes.
You know, we call it kitchen table finances, Rachel.
Oh, really?
Kitchen table issues. So I get what they're saying, but I also think this person is justifying whatever terrible decisions they're making by saying, well, like, personal finance is personal. So, like, if I feel like I need to go $30,000 in debt for a car, like, let me live my truth, Rachel. That's the vibe I get from Meow Me and Me, who I think just lives with cats. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Well,
what's your take on
like
this?
She doesn't like cats.
Personal finance is personal. What
I
works
take
one
it
person?
As it is very personal. So, I do think you either naturally lean towards like, oh, you're a spender, you're a saver, you feel this way about money or that. Like, we're all going to have our natural
the approach
bits.
May be different.
Yeah, we all have our attitude or our feelings around money that are very different, very personal to us. So there are going to be moments that you're like, oh yeah, this is a very, as an individual, this is how I feel about it. Like Winston and I have different feelings around money at times, right? Like he's naturally a saver where I'm more like, let's go here, you know. So that there is a personal context in that, but an overall plan and goal for your life that you walk through a process, though, is a numbers process. And with the baby steps, it is...
Math works for everyone.
It's the math, right?
If you don't have debt and you have money in the bank and you invest for the future, you will build wealth.
That's right. So that's what's hard about it is like, yes, that we all bring our personal take and our stories and everything with it. But at the end of the day, we are talking about money. And money comes with numbers and figures. And when you do the math...
And to give this person credit, the heart behind this is this plan doesn't work for me because of my mistakes, my baggage, my situation. And I just want to give them a hug and say, it can work for you. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about
it. If I could do that in the YouTube comment section, I would.
Oh, George, I feel your internet.
I think they're just hurt. You know what I mean? They're hurt and they're like, well, must be nice to go make that money and pay off that amount of debt.
Meow Me did not say that. Don't put those words in his or her mouth. Meow Me did not say that. They just said this.
I'm subtweeting. Is that what it's called?
Subtweeting.
Sub-Xing.
All right. Okay, here are some non-money comments. Pretty fun. My family had a French bulldog. His name was Winston. 10 out of 10.
That's amazing. Our worlds have collided.
And Winston will tell you that's the number one comment he gets.
That's a bulldog's
name. That was my dog's name.
I think that's rude.
That is true.
It speaks to how great of a name Winston is. Like, you don't name dogs things you hate. You name things...
Oh, there you go.
You know, like, dogs have names of things you love.
Yeah, he's okay with it.
Like
very
pizza
comfortable.
And potato. Seth Godwin says, I can confidently say George is a good person.
Aww.
Thank you, Seth. I know Seth personally, so that one feels like, well, of course...
You do?
Your friend is going to say he's a good person. But he's defending me amongst the filth on the social media comment sections.
So nice.
Appreciate that. Can Sudelec 46, what did she say?
She said, I love Rachel. It's so nice to see a smart woman who is a professional in finance. A great example for all the girls.
Wow.
Very kind.
Slay.
Just slay.
We love a queen.
We love a queen.
Is that
she's
what people
beauty.
Say?
She's grace. She's Miss Smart Money Happy Hour.
Miss Smart Money Happy Hour.
Well, what's funny is that now I feel like women dominate the personal finance space.
Yeah, there's a lot of women out there.
It's amazing.
It's yes.
So, way to go,
just
girls.
Just have good advice. That's all we want for out there, you know?
Yeah, well, I think honestly, women are more prone to want to learn and grow, and men are not.
Oh,
and so, therefore,
good.
Women gravitate towards like personal growth things, whether it's finance or otherwise. And men just want to, I don't know, sports bet on the Knicks game or something stupid.
That's it. All right, George, what do you think the moral of the story is with all of this? You know,
I think it's simple. There's always going to be people in your life who love to share their opinions about the decisions you make and the things you said and did. And some of this is done, I think, out of a dark place. Jealousy, bitterness, rage, envy, hurt. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, more rarely, it's done out of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think
anyone who's commenting negatively on the internet, especially to strangers, which if you're doing it to friends, what are you doing? But to strangers, they're just hurt. And so I try to remember that hurt people hurt people, and the trolls are really just looking for a hug.
I mean, can you genuinely, though, get yourself in a place where I would type something mean to somebody that I don't know? Like, do you know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's a little bizarre.
I did it, Rachel. You know about my Steve Martin tweet.
Oh, yeah, and he called you out.
He called me out. He called me a sad idiot child on the internet.
What did you say to him?
I said not. It wasn't like super cruel. I was just like, he's kind of like a crazy old grandpa that you keep around out of pity. Something like that. I was 18. It was a different time on Twitter, okay? Things have gotten a lot darker since then if you've ever been on Twitter. So I feel like it was pretty tame for 2009, you know? But since then, I've realized like, oh, real people see these comments. Number one, it will affect your future. People out there commenting things that your employer will one day see.
Yes, you can pull comments.
I mean, entire careers have been demolished because of a tweet 10 years ago.
Yes, that is true too. But I've seen people that like find the person and like go up and they're like, let's talk about this. And they're like, wait, what?
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It's real. Yeah.
That's a strategy. I want to do that where I DM, like someone leaves a mean comment, I DM them with a video of me. And I dress it very casually and professionally.
Carlos Whitaker talks about that.
Yeah.
I think
that's a really smart kind of high road flex.
We actually did that at the last conference. Remember that?
We did.
Some guy said to George, will you answer my question? Because Rachel apparently doesn't.
She never responds.
Responds or something. So I get on George's right there.
And you're like, hey, Rick.
Hi, Rick. I'm so sorry, Rick, that I didn't respond to your DM. But here's me and George. And he. And he wrote back. He was like, that just made my day or something. He was like, that was amazing.
Wow.
So, don't, well, yeah.
Still waiting for Dwayne The Rock Johnson to respond to my DMs. Anyways, that's okay, the moral.
So here's the thing. Regardless of whether people love us, they hate us,
you gotta ignore the haters.
We have a plan that we really believe in, you guys, when it comes to this part of your life, which is money. So whether you're using every dollar of the budgeting app, whether you're doing the baby steps, whatever it is, we really do believe that we want to help you take control of your money. And we really think this is the best way.
Yes.
From all the factors that we have together.
You got to stay focused on your reality, your resources, your goals, and put the blinders
on. And your truth, right, George?
And your truth. Usually that just means I'm going to make terrible decisions. But in this case, we're talking about, hey, I want to become debt-free and I don't care what anyone else thinks about my plan because they don't pay my bills.
Yeah.
And so that's my last thought on that. Consider the source and your inputs. And if there's a lot of negativity, you control that. Shut it down. Get off social media. Block them. Who cares?
Yeah, totally.
Move on with your life.
100%. Love it.
Well, hey, you guys, I know investing can be really confusing and there's so much information out there. And have you ever wondered how much should I invest and where is my 401k set up in a way that's going to be able to achieve my retirement dream? Well, if those questions are out there, you are not alone. And having a solid investment plan that you're confident in will help you make the right decisions. That's why I want to tell you about a two-night virtual event that's coming up. It's called Dave Ramsey's Investing Essentials. On May 21st and 22nd, Dave will unpack everything that you need to know when it comes to investing and retirement, from 401ks and mutual funds to real estate. You can even watch it anywhere you are, even submit questions for Dave to answer live. You guys, investing is one of the most powerful tools for wealth building, so you need to be doing this. If you are debt-free and have 3 to 6 months of expenses saved, then you need to buy your ticket today. It's $249, so buy it today at ramseysolutions.com/investwithconfidence. All right, George, it's almost the end of the episode, and we like to close out every episode with
Guilty as Charged.
And this is where our producer, Skylar, gives us a new Guilty as Charged question every week. And if we are guilty, we have to take a sip. So, Skylar.
Have you ever let someone else use one of your memberships and then regretted it?
Oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a good one, Rachel.
Do you?
This is a like, we
honestly,
gotta eat the cherry.
I don't know.
It's that bad. I, before stabbing myself.
Are you ready? Okay, I'm ready for yours. I genuinely don't think.
No?
I don't think I have.
No Netflix, Hulu,
could be digital,
Costco.
Could be real life.
I know, I'm thinking all of it.
I feel like you're the one to mooch on someone else's membership. You know what I mean?
No.
Do you even know any of your membership logins, or is that Winston's job?
Winston does most of it.
Yeah. I rest my case,
Your
Honor.
If I see my email, I know the one password. I have one password, which I know is not like the security thing to do. But
tell it to me privately right now.
Okay.
Pretty good, actually.
Got it.
Y'all will never get it unless you turn up the volume and post. Thanks, Ben.
Ben's got it. Okay, hey, what's your story?
This happened very recently, like a few weeks ago.
Oh, I can't wait.
I'm at a Costco with our friend Chris.
Okay.
You know Chris.
Yeah, we know Chris.
We're walking in. A man approaches us and he's like, older man, probably in his 50s, maybe 60s. And he goes, hey, listen, I forgot my membership. Do you mind if I just like walk in with you guys?
Is this in the parking lot?
This is in the entrance area of Costco, which as you know,
you can't
get into Costco without flashing your membership with your photo. And this guy's kind of like approaching us and he's like, hey, can I just, I don't have my membership. Like I have a picture of it on my phone. I was like, well, great. I do too. That's what I use. I use the Costco app and I click the membership.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. It's like a picture of the membership card. I'm like, okay, he's a real boomer. So I'm like, you know what? This is my good deed for the day. Maybe the Lord put this person in my path so I could bless him.
That's great.
And I'm just letting him into Costco. I'm not committing a crime.
Sure.
So I pretend like he's my dad and we walk in together. So we're chatting it up. I'm flashing the card real casual while talking to dad. So he walks in. I go, great. Like, good luck. Like, I ask him, what are you going to do on the way out? Because you need to now
100%.
Show your picture with your card when you're in line or else they won't let you through.
Yep.
And he goes, I'll figure it out. I'll find someone. Guess who he finds at checkout?
He found you, George.
He ends up right behind me in line.
No, he doesn't.
And he goes, well, what are the chances? And I go, I think this man's committing a crime now.
Okay.
Like I was being
followed. But you always knew that he didn't, though, have his card.
Yes.
So he obviously...
But now I'm thinking, I don't even know if he has a membership. I mean, it's a free country, but also Costco has rules.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Winston, now I'm freaking out.
Winston experienced that.
I'm like, what if
weekend?
They take away my membership, realizing that I'm helping a criminal?
What happened?
I'm an accomplice to a crime.
What happened?
Well, he's already behind me. What am I going to do? Get out of the line and be like, no, sir.
You just say, Gary, you got to figure it out.
Well,
but no, you're too nice. You're too in it. Okay.
I'm too nice.
So what happens?
So he follows me in line. I go, all right.
You pay for his groceries.
I hatch a plan.
Oh my God.
No.
You pay for his Costco.
No, but we go in together. I flash my card. I go, hey, this is my dad. He's with me. We're just checking out. We have two carts with very different items. So we get to the little self-checkout register and I go, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to scan my card. You scan your stuff and pay and then leave. And so he scans his stuff, he pays, I scurry him off, and I start checking out with my separate transaction.
Sure.
To keep it all kosher.
100%.
Because I don't want this guy on my tab.
I thought you paid for his Costco.
No. And so that's where I was like, okay, maybe this is not a scam. Maybe he's a true.
Did
but
you ever find out?
As we left, I just went, Gary, that whole thing was, he's done this before.
Gary.
I don't think he has a Costco membership. He's unwilling to shell out the $60 a year. So I'm not sure I did a good deed or if I committed a crime.
Wow,
but that
George.
Was a regret, and it won't happen again.
But Costco, it is pretty... Winston went last weekend, are you ready for this? To Costco with my card. Because he didn't have a card. It's my card.
You didn't add him as a... It's free to add him as a...
I don't know. We just don't... This is too much detail, George. And he says... And they did not...
And he had to leave.
He had to leave with all his card. And he texted and said... Fail. Absolute fail. I was like, what happened? So then we had to Instacart it and pay the tip.
Oh,
it was terrible. He's like, literally my cart.
He should have done what that guy did and went, hey.
I know.
I'll pretend to be your hotter, older brother.
Learn something
Let me check out with you, Gary.
Man.
Anyways.
Well.
That's my story
that's
of regret and membership cards.
Have your boundaries, George. Have your boundaries.
I really need... I'm a people
pleaser.
You
know what? Gary genuinely may have gone out for his wife to get the stuff, and he really may have looked at his wallet.
Based on what was in
his
cart, he was a very reasonable man. He had a lot of clementines. I went, this guy loves clementines.
It could have been real, George.
I believe it.
You could have done a great deed. Why do you...
I know.
Why are you going negative? Nothing negative happened. I thought you were going to say he swooned you. You paid for his groceries. And you're going to Venmo. And it was going to be a whole...
The whole thing just felt odd. I was skeptical.
It was going to be a whole thing.
Okay. But this is me trying to be a good person and not be skeptical of humanity.
It felt good. I'm with you. Okay. Right. Well, I'm not guilty. I'm actually innocent on this one. So I'm very proud of that.
Because she has no clue what the memberships are, what the logins are. She couldn't give someone the login if she wanted to. Couldn't even give your own husband a membership.
Possibly true.
Just go to Costco with him.
I'm home.
And add him as a member.
And too much work. Okay, who finished her drink first?
We both finished, which means it was a winner. This was the Gold Rush. And here's what's in it. Bourbon, ginger liqueur, lemon juice, lime juice, honey simple syrup, and saline, which is a mixture of salt and water.
Wow. And I will say, our resident bartender... Michael Reddish, he really, honestly, he did. He made a lot of this. He made the honey on himself.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
The saline.
Way to go, Michael.
So he put a lot of
love
effort, and love into
and
this.
And it showed. And the cost breakdown is $2.66, which I think is a steal for a drink of this caliber. I would order this at a restaurant.
Yeah, it was delicious. So good. Okay, I give it a 10 out of 10.
I'm going 10 out of 10. I could not improve on it, and therefore he wins. So get the recipe in the show notes. Go make it at home. Give it a try this weekend. You'll save a lot of money doing that.
That's right. And you guys, leave a review. As you can see, we read the comments. We are genuinely in there.
So make them nice.
Yeah, be kind. That would be great.
Because I will block
you.
I will block you. Not scared.
And make sure to share these episodes with friends and family to get them in. Talking about money.
Lure them in. This is the gateway drug to get them debt-free and building wealth.
Yep, and subscribe so you don't miss an all-new episode of
Smart Money Happy Hour.